Good evening and welcome to our extraordinarily fresh Fantasy Football League podcast. I am your host, Shane, coming in for week two. And today we have my co-host, Eric. And later on in the show, we are going to have Jewel. This should be very interesting, considering 4 years in, and we finally got her on a podcast. Eric, how's it going?
Hey, Shane, how are you? Hey, glad to be part of the great podcast week three. I'm coming in on a losing note, so that's all I need to say, but we have to congratulate Jewel when it's time on a great win. When you beat the best, you beat the best.
Very true, and I'll let you hold that torch. She's going to get nothing but stones and dust from me. So clearly that's how week two treated you. For me, I can't lie, definitely put me in a better spot. Came back and got on the winner's board. Still get no love or respect in the power rankings, but I'll take that up with the commissioner. I actually might even go ahead and ring him in too. Skip needs to be a part of this because I have to thrash him at least once a week. But week two definitely was good for me. Like I said, getting back in that win column, much, much needed, long overdue. And I need that streak to continue. What do you think about some duds from the week, though? We had some games that kind of put people in some bad spots and some performances that were even worse.
Well, Ish is doing some trash talk, and he's going 2-0. I think he's got like 170 points for the year. 2-0, it will catch up to him. If a win is a win, but that's putrid territory 2 weeks in a row now. His luck is about to end this week, probably.
I agree. He should be 0-2 because week one, he shouldn't have won.
No, he shouldn't have won this week, too. Ronnie had a bad week. He's got a decent team, and he just stroked some spitballs, but Ish is talking like he's the best team in the league. He didn't get much respect from the commissioner's power rankings, that's for sure.
Not at all, and he shouldn't have. He definitely, with the lowest point total, but yet, unfortunately, he's still sitting in the top half of the league. That's crazy. What about some performances I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it'll come down. I'm sure they'll lead some tiebreakers. They'll end up losing the tiebreakers. I believe it's points, total points. So he better start winning some games, because if he's in a tiebreaker, he's probably going to lose the tiebreaker.
Yeah, pretty much. What about some of your studs from week two? There were a couple performances I was expecting to see. Some pretty interesting games. I know everyone was looking at that nail-biter between you and Jewel, actually. It came down to the wire, and strong performance from David Carr and CJ Anderson, but kind of left some opportunities out there.
Well, the problem, Shane, Jewel had Crabtree. So every time Carr got a touchdown, he got 4 points, but Crabtree would get 6 points for a touchdown. So that's what really hurt me. And Chris Thompson, he's not going to – I can't see him putting up another – what do you have, like 25, 30 points? He doesn't touch the ball that much yet. So,
yeah, 25.
The whole thing was – going up against my quarterback with the wide receiver. If Cooper had – I have Cooper, so if even Cooper had caught one of those touchdowns, that's a 12-point swing. So that's she won. She deserves it. Best score of the week. So, hey, that's the breaks, No excuses. But yeah. CJ Anderson continued to do well for me, and McCaffrey hasn't done so well so far, but I expect him to turn it around. Zeke came up flat. So even if I got another 4 or 5 points with Zeke, I would have won. But, hey, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, you never really know what's going to happen from week to week, and that's always the hard part, trying to figure out the best way to continue to win, because as we know, any given Sunday, it can get you.
What's your team, Shane? How about your performance, your top performances to get that win?
Well, for me, the biggest thing that was necessary, I had great play from Drew Brees, putting up 25 points. I also had a surprise game from Allen Hurns, who put up 20 points. You know, Coleman gave me 12 and a half. Lynch gave me 11-9. But I got a little nervous. I mean, Hooper only gave me 2.7 after being on the bench last week, putting up 23, which is always kind of the give or take with that team. But all in all, everybody came in. They showed up. The Atlanta defense getting the 13 points when they were only slated for 6 definitely helped me as well. Pretty much everybody overachieved. And the biggest one being Hurns at over 9 points plus his projected points. All right. And as we go into our weekly recap, let's talk about what happened in week one. Let me tell you, it was, well, I'm sorry, week two, rather. Definitely had some matchups that were very interesting. Of course, Jewel, hostile takeover, received high points, scoring a whopping 145. And we'll start with her matchup as she defeated Jacob High Rollers 145 to 141. It was definitely a nail biter, but in the end, Jules snuck in and took one right out of Eric's hands. Nemesis defeated Mr. Steel Yo Girly 126 to 109. The Bad Guy defeated Henry P. McCoy 136 to 126. Randy Savage defeated Pharaoh 109 to 108, which is also another close one. But in the end, Randy snuck one out. Sincere Douche defeated Stairway to 7, 139 to 108. The Big F-ish defeated the Great One, which I don't understand considering he snuck by yet again. 2 weeks of luck in his favor. 89 to 34.
Hold on, sorry, I was choking over that score. Sorry about that, guys.
As you should. That's 2 weeks in a row that he hasn't broken 100. Can we just give him the future trophy?
Is that a type? I think it's a Yahoo stack correction error, maybe? No,
he sucks that bad. And, of course, our last matchup of the week, King of Bench Points, myself, defeated House Money 136 to 109. Everything that happened in week two, I can't say surprised me. I think everybody got what they deserved, with the exception of Ish. He definitely should have lost and should be 0-2. This guy literally has less than 180 points and is sitting in the top five. Something's got to change.
He had the nerve to show his voice on the group me. I was surprised even. I would have ran.
We should ban him. He should be banned.
We're talking about you, Ish. We're talking about you. You're talking a big game, but you're 154 points for the year. That's, I think, about that.
Yeah, he's definitely horrible. I'm going to go ahead and pass the trophy over to him, considering how putrid I was last year. I'm calling it out now. His streak of winning is about to end in week three. And Lord knows he's about to be in trouble. Speaking of week three, let's talk about these waiver wires. And let's see. Eric, do you see anyone interesting that's still out there that didn't get picked up?
Well, I picked up Tywan Taylor the other night for $0. I thought, I'm taking a chance if Davis is out for a decent amount of time. That might be a decent pickup. You never know. At, you know, back of the... this point, it's worth you taking. I'm taking a flyer, but as far, I haven't checked the waiver wire since a couple of days, but not much left. You got a bunch of long shots. I haven't seen anything really. I'm looking at the. You got a few tight ends who are long shots. Could maybe take a shot at that. I thought maybe Ben Watson was there. Looks like someone grabbed him too. So not a whole lot out there to grab. Looks like everything's been pretty much taken.
Right. Now I'll say this. There was one team in particular that was very active over this waiver wire period and just making moves in general. And that's the commissioner himself. He picked up Mr. Allison for $23, dropping the Tampa Bay defense. Then he goes out and also gets Darren McFadden. And he also picks up Tyler Boyd. I mean, this guy is making a lot of moves, but the question is, Is it going to actually hurt him? I don't know, but we'll have to see what happens going forward. He definitely made a bunch of moves, and I don't know if they're going to help him much.
Well, I think he might have picked up McFadden because Elliott, Zeke could – this is going back and forth between the suspensions, going back to court again. I think that's – you have to ask the commission that, but I think that was the commission thinking. Allison, I think that's a good pickup. I think Jordy was pending, not playing, but I think he's healthy. But that's still a good stash because Allison, Cobb's out this week too. So I think that was a good, Skip's got the money. There's not much left. You might as well spend it because what else is left? The odds of a big sleeper coming through probably isn't going to happen. So why not spend it? So he made, I like
you're right.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart cookie. So Skip knows what he's doing. Yep. So those are good pickups.
Yeah, he picked up Allison for $23. So, like you said, with Nelson being out and, some other decisions that need to be made in terms of health of receivers, I laugh at him, but you know what? You're right. He got McFadden for $7. And if Zeke goes out, we know that McFadden is capable of carrying the load and putting up numbers. So, I don't know. Maybe Sincere is out here quietly trying to put together a squad that can get him in a better spot within the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll have to see how that goes.
So good job, Skip. Good job.
Yep. We're going to give him the best pickup award for that one because he secretly got some things in there. Speaking of which, hey, let's go ahead and bring in Skip so we can talk about our commissioner's corner. Hey, Chris, are you there?
Oh, hey, Shane, do you want to mention there is one pickup that looks significant. Ronnie got Rashad Higgins for $36. I'm just looking at the transaction. So that's a good pickup by Ronnie. Wow. Again, I don't know how much money he has left, but that's not a bet. He's going to be a he got 11 targets last week. So they're playing the Colts this week, too. So that's a good pickup by Ronnie.
Yeah, he definitely put that one in. And no, I'm glad you pointed that out because remember, his team got decimated in week one. And he snuck by, week two. I keep saying week one because, quite frankly, I feel like it should be a do-over because my points for this week should have been last week. Moving forward, though, he had to make a move. And I think that was the best one for him. So good move, Ronnie. Let's see how it works out for you. Let's get to this commissioner's corner so we can go over these power rankings for week three.
All right. Thanks, guys. So the power rankings for this week are really significant, actually, because teams number one and two in the power rankings are actually going up against each other. So this is basically a battle for the number one ranking in the power rankings. And then those two teams are our reigning champ, JR. And then at number two, we have the bad guy, Brad, the co-commissioner. And so we'll see. Whoever wins that is likely going to be the number one team in the power rankings. That is, unless they have an ish-like week and both of them score, under 90 points. Then we'll have to kind of talk about who inhabits that number one spot. Numbers three and four, we've got Eric. So you, Jacob High Rollers. And then at number four, we have Clint, Sandy Ravage. So Eric is the first team with a loss that's ranked in the power rankings at number three. He scored, you scored 142, so it's not like you were that bad. You just got outscored by the highest point scorer of the week. So it doesn't really bring you down too much. I think you went down one position from last week.
It happened. It happens. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so then numbers five and six, we have Jewel, our high points winner. We'll talk to her in a few minutes. And then at number six, we have AJ, Henry P. McCoy. Now, AJ did lose, but he didn't lose by too much. But Brad is definitely on his high horse now about that win. And if you really want to see what Brad's talking about, go check out the power rankings on the league website. You'll see a pretty nice description of his win. And then we have number seven and eight. We've got Simon, Mr. Steal Your Girlie, it's number seven. Now, he's 0-2, but he's actually scored a lot of points on the season. So his team still looks good, but he's going to need a win this week to stay in this area of the power rankings. And then number eight, we have Ronnie, the great one. He lost to Ish, scoring under 90 points. I'm not sure. He was a high point scorer the first week, and now he's under 90 points this week. I don't know. His outlook is looking very dim right now. So we'll see if he can improve.
Hey, since I make league history having the lowest combined score, isn't that grounds for league history as well, having the starkest drop-off from high points 1 week to not even 100 the next?
Yeah, I think that might be. I mean, we'll have to do some research on that, but I think it could be that that's the largest drop-off between 2 weeks. Absolutely. I know there's not many cases of someone getting high points 1 week and then low points the next week. So, yeah, definitely, Ronnie, you're embarking on league history here, man, and not in a good way.
Just pathetic.
At numbers 9 and 10, we have myself. I got the win against Chad last week. And then we have at number 10, we have Ish, the last ranked 2-0 team. And we all know why he's at number 10. I think, you know, we've had that discussion many times on this podcast today. At number 11 and 12, we have Roland. He's at 0-2. And at number 12, we got you, Shane. You're climbing out of the cellar. So you've moved from 14 to 12 after your win this week.
I think I should be over him. I mean, you know, I never agree with your power rankings unless I'm at the top anyway, as most of us do. But I'll let you continue to live in your world of delusion. That's A-okay. He'll continue his slide, and I'll continue my climb.
Well, you know, when you get putrid, you really have to do a lot to convince me that you're no longer putrid. So, you know, all you got to do is keep winning, and you'll keep climbing up. All right, so we got number 13 and 14. We've got Farrell, the rookie, 0-2, sitting at 13. And then we've got Stairway to 7, Shad, the precipitous fall from his championship up to a couple of years ago, and now he's sitting here at the putrid front runner. Now, I did mention in the group chat that I don't think Chad will sit there for too long, and I think I actually mentioned it in the power rankings as well. I don't expect him to sit there for that long, but he does only have 200 points on the season. So he is ranked where he's supposed to be ranked. But like I said, I don't think he'll inhabit that spot for too long, especially if he starts winning some games. And it seems like with the manager's poll, the managers who have voted have also thought that Chad does not belong in that spot. And it turns out that number 13 and 14 in my power rankings are actually reversed in the manager's poll. So people think that Chad's 13 and that Farrell is 14. So that's the commissioner's power ranking. So that's the commissioner's power rankings.
All right. Thanks for that, Chris. That is a wonderful update. As we all know, he's always giving us stuff that no one likes to hear because everyone always wants to be at that top spot. However, like you mentioned, it's definitely going to be interesting. So
at this point, we're going to bring in our high points performer from week two, for week two, which happens to be none other than the hostile takeover, Jewel herself. Welcome, Jewel. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me, guys. I know I haven't actually been on here yet, but glad I could finally make an appearance.
Oh, yes. This is one that is definitely for the record books. Been in the league as long as you have, and we finally got you on here.
Yeah. I mean, don't act like the podcast has been going that long. I mean, it's only been a couple years.
Oh, okay. Just a couple. Gotcha. So, who would you like to thank for this win,
Jewel? Clearly, we're going to have to go with the strongest performers for me, Crabtree and Chris Thompson. But, you know, that's what really got it home for me.
It came in and showed out for you. You know, as we were looking at the points climb, we were like, this is going to turn into a very tight matchup. And, you know, Eric thought he had a good matchup with Carr, which was the right idea. However, Crabtree being the most beneficial from it all got you that W.
Yep. And so, I was watching that Denver-Dallas game too, hoping that at least one of Zeke and Anderson would not keep going on. So that helped me out. Zeke kind of fell flat.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. I mean, as strong as that line is. So let's ask the million-dollar question. For you, what are your expectations for the season? Every year we come in with the great hope of having a great year. And, you know, it's been a rough 4 years for you in the Extraordinarily Fresh League. So what do you think is going to be different for you this year?
It has. I mean, I had big plans for this year before week one happened. But, you know, I'm still going to try my best to get to the playoffs. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be a struggle.
Why do you think it'll be a struggle?
I mean, you know, you lose your number one running back, but we'll see. I think I've got some depth on my team, so hopefully I'll be able to pull it out.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jewel, on your win over me. Well deserved.
Yeah, I was trying to not throw you under the bus. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks very much. Oh, it's like, it was just exciting, you know. You, I think I was up early, then you came and took like a 25-point lead, and I almost came back, but I didn't think I was going to come back. It wasn't Dallas's day, so. You won, so you do get to throw me on the bus because you won. So, yeah. Great job.
I appreciate it.
Everybody needs to get run over at least once in this league. Unfortunately, this week it was Eric.
Right.
So. With you having high expectations for the season and having some overperformers, was there anything that caught you off guard in week two?
I don't know. I mean, it didn't catch me off guard that Bilal Powell was horrible, but I guess that's about it. That was not a surprise to me, but we're going to stop letting him destroy my team.
Yes, definitely have to cut those anchors. So yeah. With that, let's ask, you know what, let's take it off football for a second. Okay. Are there any other life updates, things that have been going on with you outside of the Extraordinarily Fresh League?
I don't know, Shane. You know, I got married last year, bought a house this year. That's about it.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Exactly.
Where do you live anyway? I don't even know where you live.
I'm in Atlanta too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, we're excited. Got a condo. It's nice. I like it.
See? Look at that. Dropping knowledge. So Extraordinarily Fresh. There's always things outside of the league that keep us and push us. Right. Jewel has joined the ranks of.
You know, a third of the Fresh League was in town in Atlanta, Jewel. I hope you just stayed indoors.
Yeah, no, I know. I had to stay away from them. You know, they're crazy. All y'all together is a lot. It's a lot.
We can be a lot, but this is why the Extraordinarily Fresh League is what it is. If you can't take it, I don't know what to tell you because it's not changing.
It's true.
We are. We are who we are, and that will never go away.
We got a great group of owners, I'll tell you.
True. So, Shane, when are you coming by the new spot?
I was just waiting on the invitation.
There you go. There it is.
It is done.
All right.
It is done. So, what are your predictions going into week three, Jewel? I know that being high points, it always gets a target on your back. What's something that you want to do to avoid that letdown?
I don't know. I've got to try to come out strong, even though my opponent has already come out strong with that performance by Garcon on Thursday night. So we'll see what I can do to make up for that.
Yes, a couple people that are trying to recuperate from that. And, you know, we also have an early game between Jacksonville and Baltimore. I believe that's at 9:30 in the morning, so that should be interesting as well.
Right.
Make sure those lineups are set, people, because if not, you will be hurting.
6:30 out here.
Oh,
that's right. I'm sorry. That was Eastern time. Right. Forgot we have those that are in some other places. Well, Jewel, you definitely done what you've needed to take high points, earn some cash, some smack talk. You have any final words for the league and for Eric before we let you get out of here?
I'll leave Eric alone. He knows what happened last week. But, you know, everybody else, hopefully, I'm coming for you guys, too. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, wow. So there it is. The league has been put on notice. Jewel is on fire and headed for you. Watch out. Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight, Jewel, for our show. Hopefully you have good luck in week 3 and every other week until you run up against somebody that is going to take you down. Let's see how long your streak will last.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Have a good one. Thank you.
As we're talking about power rankings, let's go ahead and look at these week 3 matchups. All right. So we have Henry P. McCoy going up against you, Commissioner Sincere Douche. We have Nemesis taking on Bad Guy. Hostile Takeover versus The Great One. We have House Money versus Randy Savage. Stairway to Seven, or should we say Stairway to Doom, will be taking on King of Bench Points, myself. Pharaoh versus the Big F-ish. And of course, last but not least, you, Mr. Eric Jacob High Rollers, taking on Mr. Steal Your Girly. What are your picks for potential upsets?
Well, Fish isn't going to happen. He's going to lose. He's going to probably go under 100. You can call it now. I should go down to the casino and put some money on that. What's the commission going to do if Fish doesn't get 100 points again? That's going to be interesting. Does he go down the power rankings to like 14? He's at 2-1. I think Stairway to Seven is going to get a win. He's underperforming. I think he'll get a win. Simon's going to be, it's going to be a good match tomorrow against me. So he's better than 0-2 in my opinion. So it's going to be competitive. Upsets, I think Stairway to Seven will win. Because he'll be an upset because he's 0-2.
Wow, so you're actually on the podcast with me and vote against me. You know, I can't say that I'm mad at that because I was the putrid winner, but I'm just not going to go with that one. I honestly say that I think the Great One is going to eke out a win over Jewel, which is mine. But I'm very interested in the matchup of 1 versus 2 from the power rankings. Because as we all know, that can have some stark implications for the power rankings. But then again, depending on the score and injuries, it could reshape the league and the rest of the season for either one of these teams. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I'm calling an upset also that Sincere Douche beats Henry P. McCoy.
Well, Jay, I got that 40 points from Girly, so he's got a big jump. Howard is playing tomorrow, so I know Brad was worried about that. So he's got Hunt, you know, Kareem Hunt to put up, I don't think he'll put up 40, but he's put up at least 25, so he could come back. But JR's definitely got the advantage right now, 40. Just emotional, it's going to be tough on Brad when you don't get 40 up against you having to play the players. I think it's gonna be a crazy year overall. I think it's gonna be a lot of ups and downs for everyone. It's just so unpredictable. You think like last week, Zeke, you think he would have gotten more than like 6-7 points. He failed. You never know what these players. Le'Veon Bell's been a disappointment so far, so these high priced players haven't been performing like they should. So anything can happen in my opinion.
No, I completely understand. And that's kind of why, you know, we look at these matchups week by week, because anything can happen. You know, I kind of piggyback off of you with that. I've had a mediocre game and a pretty decent game from Julio Jones, who is definitely always the candy of my eye for my team. In order for me to win, he has to show up and show out. And, you know, he hasn't eclipsed 20 points yet. So for me, I'm not concerned because I know that defense is going to keep Atlanta in games and that offense is really going to take a step in the right direction and continue to put up points like they did last year.
Against Detroit, it's going to be an interesting matchup, but I expect Julio to finally get me where I need to so that I can get to where I need to be and hopefully squeak out another win. It's going to be a tight one for a number of games, so we'll have to see what happens.
Well, I'll say this, Shane. I haven't really looked at everyone's roster that closely, but I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of who has the, you know, high ceiling, you know, low floor, you know, on your team. If you have a lot of players that, like, I have Martavis Bryant, he could put up a zero or he could put up 25, you know, high risk, high reward. So probably each team has set up their team to have a lot of high risk players. Looks like JR's 2-0. He's got some pretty consistent players. They may not 40, 50 every week, but they're probably not going to get many zeros. So it's interesting to see how each team has, each owner has, you know, managed to set up their team. That's what I think is going to play the big part in each team. These high ceilings.
Yeah, I think when we look at high-selling players, there are a number of them out there on these squads. And with some of these injuries to key players and even some star players going down, these high ceilings now are thrust into starting positions. And as we all know, this is how you actually can make your way into stardom, or you can continue to solidify yourself on the bench or even unemployed. This is the way that the league has been, and this is how it works. So with that, I will say that week two has been wrapped up. We've had some very bold predictions. We've had some stark smack talk from Jewel herself, being the high points winner from week one, week two. She's not getting any more. She's going to continue our streak of wreaking havoc amongst each other. For myself, Shane, I'd like to say thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's podcast. I hope that it has been enjoyable and definitely a classic one that you all will save and remember. Eric, any closing words?
No, Shane, great job being the host. I want to wish everyone luck. I want to find you tomorrow. And you know who you are. But anyway, good luck to all of you. Hope you have an enjoying the weekend. Hope you all get yourself a win.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the Extraordinarily Fresh podcast for week two. Once again, I hope that you all have enjoyed yourself and this cast. And let's see who will become victorious the following week. Until next time, everyone. Later.